From a galaxy not too far from here, I'm Andrew DiMolato.
And I'm Nikki DiMolato.
And we're going rogue. This is our weekly Star Wars podcast slash show on YouTube. So this week, the main topic, I thought it would be fun to, because we did a Would You Rather the last episode. And I thought it'd be fun to like, because it'd be fun to do like maybe like a, if you had the budget or somebody gave you the budget, which Star Wars movie would you like remake? Any Star Wars movie you want. And I think, but we've talked about this before, and I think we both said the same movie.
Yes.
Before we get to that, let's look at other ones that we might...
Runners-up.
Yeah, like runners-up. Like
runner-ups.
Because we'll reveal, because we both have the same movie we want to do, and we'll get deeper into that. But I want to hear from you first. Like, your runners-up, some that you're like, maybe, but I'm happy with it, kind of answers.
Well, okay. So I'll give two answers.
Okay.
So, honestly, I'm not sure that... Because if we're talking about, oh, you have this crazy budget, I don't really think... Personally, I don't really think there would be a big need to touch the sequels because they came out like in the recent past. Yeah. So they have most of, if not the most cutting edge, you know, effects and whatever that we could probably offer at this point.
Yeah. And I think before we get into that, I think the rules are kind of like...
My best friend's like having a baby today and I'm just like freaking out because I can't wait. Go on.
Where's that child?
Where's that baby? I need to see a picture.
But before we get into that, like I think the rules are like if there are rules, like major story points have to stay the same, because if you change one story point in one movie, there's a ripple effect.
Oh yeah, really. No. So we're just talking about like special effects, casting,
yeah, stuff like that. Even though casting might affect the rest of them, but like realistically,
I mean, I don't really think so. If you're saying the same stuff, if you're saying the same lines and all the scripting is still the same, you just plug in a new person, I think it'll be the same. It's just gonna look different.
Well, I'm talking about if you cast as one person, then you have to cast them for the rest of the series. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, you're thinking too detailed here.
But the one rule I think we have to agree on is like major story beats. So you can't change like, oh, well, Palpatine lives at the end of this one. You have to stick to the main story.
Well, no. Okay. Yeah. So the way I'm looking at it is not the way you're looking at it very realistically for me. The way I'm looking at it is in a fun fantasy world, somebody gives me $500 gazillion and says, here, remake this one movie, not even thinking about the other ones. That's how I'm looking at it.
Okay.
I'm not thinking at it like, well, you know, if I recast Anakin as, you know, you know, this other person, Joe Schmo, now Joe Schmo is going to have to be in all the sequels.
Yeah, I think you will stick to that rule, but also for just because, you know, major story points have to stay the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Agreed.
Yes.
So I don't think you'd have to do anything to the sequels because, like I said, I think they have some of the best
effects.
I was going to say graphics, but I'm like, that's not the right word. That's like a video game word. It has the best like special effects we could probably offer at this point, especially Rise. So my honorable mentions would probably be Phantom Menace because... I'd love to see what we could make the Boon to Eve classic into now.
Even though that was like, even now, I think people think the Boon to Eve classic kind of holds up.
Yeah.
In fact, I think it does, just because.
It does.
It does because.
It does.
Yeah.
But I wonder what we could do with it now.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that'd be really cool.
Because it does hold up, definitely.
Yeah.
Like shockingly.
Especially like interactivity with like the characters and stuff like that. How Anakin sort of like, it looks like he's just like, all right, because you look at the behind the scenes of Phantom Menace, it's like it's just somebody like yelling at him, like, all right, now you're turning right. All right, whoa, man, this is coming out. It's like,
as far as acting, that is apparent. But if we're talking about special effects, it holds up. His acting, So, you know, I mean, it's obvious that I'm not going to sit here and like trash talk a child on their acting abilities. But like when the extent of your like, ooh, something's bad happening, just going, that's it. Like, whatever. Yeah. He was a kid. I'm not gonna sit here.
Yeah, I would say Phantom Menace 2.
Yeah,
would be an honorable mention.
That would be an honorable mention. You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I know it's probably blasphemy, but I think it would be interesting to see what could happen with the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And in my fantasy world, because this is never going to happen, where someone's going to hand me $1 gazillion
to remake
anything,
yeah.
in my dream world, my rules go. My rules are that if I have a million bazillion dollars, I think it would be fun to remake an original trilogy movie. Mm-hmm.
Which one, though? There's one completely wrong answer here.
A New Hope is a wrong answer? Empire's a wrong answer.
Empire's the completely wrong answer.
Because it's perfect?
In my eyes, it's perfect. I mean, there are a couple of things here and there, like maybe you update the effects here and there, but like
I would pretty like much everything about the movie,
for me, it's...
If that's the case, then I would say Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see that redone. But in my fantasy dream world, I'm remaking it. But I'm remaking it with young Mark Hamill, young Carrie Fisher, and young Harrison Ford. Remaking it with all the same actors and actresses. But I'm updating the effects and all that kind of stuff. Because you want to talk blasphemy, you talk about recasting those characters.
Yes.
So
even though they were sort of done one of them.
Harrison Ford?
Yeah, with Alden Ehrenreich.
I mean, that's kind of different because you can't actually, even with all the bazillions of, you can't time machine back to find young Harrison Ford to make him star in Solo.
Yeah.
So, that's forgivable. But, if you're going to be remaking an original trilogy movie, you can't do it because you can't recast those people in those roles. It was okay for Alden Ehrenreich because it was a totally different.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a retelling of a story. It was
a brand new story,
a telling of its own story.
Yeah.
A prequel, if you will.
Yeah. So as far as prequels, we agreed on the Phantom Menace one. I want to mention original trilogy. A New Hope might be cool to see with updated, even though they already sort of did it with the special editions, but. Return of the Jedi, I would like to see the Battle of Endor with...
That's what I was thinking.
That would be fantastic. As far as like the newer movies, I would like to remake Solo as an honorable mention. Just because it already had like... It basically got made and then remade again, but they had to rush it.
Yeah.
So I would like to go back and like take time with it to flesh out the story. And that's something I would say. But I think those are all our mentions, but like, let's go ahead and get into the one that we both agreed, like if we had the unlimited budget and said like, we get one movie to remake.
Well, one more point about remaking Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. My biggest thing with the Battle of Endor, it wouldn't be the ships. It wouldn't be the flying. It wouldn't be the walkers. I would just want to fix Ewok mouths because they are freaky. I don't like Ewok
What's wrong
mouths.
With Ewok mouths?
They're weird.
Why are they weird?
I don't like them. Next time you watch Return of the Jedi, really focus on those
Ewok
mouths.
Have you noticed that they digitally made them blink?
No.
They did that for the Blu-ray. They went back and made Ewoks blink.
What, when they filmed their costumes just were...
They're just wide open because, there's no way.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. And that was fine. You never noticed it before. Then it's like now when they actually make them digitally blink, it's like, that's weird.
I never noticed that. I also didn't know that they... put Grand Moff Tarkin into,
into Rogue One,
so I might not be the best judge. But go back and watch Return of the Jedi and look at those mouths. Tell me they're not kind of weird. All right, on to the main topic.
So we both agreed that if we remake one movie, it'd be Attack of the Clones.
Oh, yeah.
And before we get into that, we have a message. We have a topic from a patron. Just to segue us into this from Ferris Muthana.
Ferris Muthana. All right, captains. Wait.
Oops.
What?
That's Sorry.
Not right.
That's not right. Here, I'll
hold on, that. Everybody.
I got
the wrong screenshot.
Sent you the wrong one. Here you go.
All right.
Sorry about that.
I was going to say, okay, Ferris.
Oh, God.
I didn't think Ferris would say that.
Yeah.
All right, Captain. No, I'm just kidding. You didn't say that. Ferris Muthana, how do you make Attack of the Clones better? Wow. Did he do this knowing the topic?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, we just read it.
I'm impressed, Ferris.
Great minds think alike, Ferris.
How do you make Attack of the Clones better? And who would you hire to beef up the dialogue for the first two prequels because George needed a help?
Mm-hmm.
P.S. Nikki, how are you? Hanging in there, Ferris. Times are tough, but I'm hanging in there the best I can.
Thank you to Squadron
My
Captain.
Man.
Squadron Captain Ferris.
How are you, Thana. Ferris? That's the bigger question.
Yeah, and our squadron captains, the $10 tier for our patron, get to dictate the weekly conversation. Mm-hmm. But thank you. That kind of segued right into what we were talking about.
Right into it.
But to go off his point, the dialogue is probably one of the things. It's so rough in this movie.
Okay, so are we talking who? What would you do to beef up the dialogue, actor wise or script wise?
Script wise, because you can keep the major story beats.
We don't have to get the same word for it. Script. Yeah, as long exactly. As you have the beats.
Yeah, the major beats like Anakin. The meat. Like they go here. They have to go here. Like the Anakin and Padme go to Naboo, then Tatooine, then Geonosis. You have to follow that, but. The words that can be changed.
You don't have to say "I love you truly, madly, deeply." Yes. That's a song. That's not the actual. That's not the actual line.
Yeah.
But yeah, so mm-hmm. Not word for word, but definitely like.
Yeah, like beefing up the it's the screenplay. The story itself has a serious name, but the screenplay itself, like the dialogue, it's painful at times.
Like Ferris said, George needed help because it sounds like a 14-year-old girl that's read too many mm-hmm. like romance novels with like. You know, shirtless yeah. dudes on the front, mm-hmm. read one too many of those, and then immediately turned around and wrote a script about two people falling in love, mm-hmm. which, ugh.
Yeah, I don't know, like, who we would hire to beef it up. I mean,
I'm probably a terrible person to ask, because I couldn't tell you the difference between a director and a screenwriter and a producer.
And I've fallen off the whole knowing who's relevant in writing, because I haven't been to the movies in very, very long, since, you know, it's pretty been much 2 years since I've seen a movie in the theaters.
It's been a minute.
But I don't know, there's so many great writers. I've always been one to say, like, if you, like, it's a movie making is a collaborative effort, so bring at least two people in to polish up the screenplay.
What about an author of one of the books? An author of, like, Bloodline or...
yes, so...
Lost in the Stars.
Lost Stars. God,
Lost Stars.
Her name is
The Queen's
escaping
Shadow.
Me.
Or
her name is
like
escaping
that.
Me. If you could look it up really quick. Who wrote Princess of Alderaan? Her name is on the tip of my tongue, but like...
The book is called Princess of Alderaan?
Princess of Alderaan.
Of not...
Yeah.
Alderaan. Claudia Gray.
Claudia Gray. That's who.
I mean,
just that's a fantastic point, because like Harlow says this all the time, like they like the book writers and the comic book writers always look like they write books. They don't need to write movies.
Yeah.
Or so, or he writes scripts for TV shows, and or like Dave Filoni is a perfect example of like, oh no, he's the animated guy. He does TV. He doesn't need a movie. It's like, bring these people in to make movies.
Is he getting a movie?
He might.
Is he getting a series?
He might. I mean, he's still working on Mandalorian with Dave with Favreau. I mean, Favreau is a fantastic writer. Filoni, he can write dialogue. I mean, bring people in from other forms of canon to
That's
help
what
with
I'm
dialogue.
Saying. I don't know. Man. I don't know people who write scripts in Hollywood, mm-hmm. but I think that a great move would be to hire somebody.
Yeah.
If not the, I don't know how it works. I don't know if like one person writes a script or if it's a team effort.
It could be two multiple passes.
But
yeah.
I feel like Claudia Gray or whoever else writes the other Star Wars books, Dave mm-hmm. Filoni. Yeah. John Favreau writes, apparently.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, make a collaborative team, or just get one of these book writers to write it and then mm-hmm. have other people just read it and give their thoughts.
And you're guaranteed to bring on somebody that knows Star Wars.
Yeah, they've already written Star Wars. Mm-hmm. They already know, I don't know. Do you think that there is like a certain way that Star Wars characters speak?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Kind of,
yeah.
Especially certain characters.
Immediately, you said that the guy that you said, this kid that we found on TikTok with the impersonations.
Oh,
of,
yeah.
He's all
he's
over
really
Twitter.
Good.
He's really good.
I don't remember his name, but the guy he does
feel
like
nice.
There's
a definitely really certain way that characters talk and like speak and stuff like that.
I'm talking about like word choice.
Yeah,
but
that just popped in my head for some reason.
Yeah,
when
no.
you said that.
I mean, because you know, if you're writing for, I mean. He's dead and stuff, but if you're writing for Grand Moff Tarkin, he speaks in a very specific way.
Oh, yes, he does. Yeah.
You're writing for Lando Calrissian. He speaks in a very, you know, in his own special way. So if you have somebody that's already written for Star Wars and is already very familiar with Star Wars, I think that's the mm-hmm. best direction you could go. Yeah. Not trying to find some random person and hoping they do it right.
And especially if like you get someone like Claudia Gray, they can like, I feel like Padme's lines need to be...
Ooh, they're rough.
I mean, because, like I said before, I never really liked Padme through the prequels until I read or listened to Queen's Shadow, and I'm in the middle of listening to Queen's Pearls, or Queen's Pearl, whatever it's titled. But like, just to give her something meaningful to say, because like she's always like her power is mostly with her words, like a lot like mm-hmm. Palpatine, and her words weren't really effective in this movie for me.
No.
especially as somebody supposed to be really outspoken and like leads people and things like that. She's really like just, she's there.
Is it attack or revenge? She's like, so this is how it's
modified. That's revenge.
Oh, never mind.
That's revenge.
Well, still, it's just a good example of how her dialogue is like, what?
Yeah. But yeah, I think bringing on something like that to just beef up the dialogue would help this movie so much.
They're already familiar with it. They've already written for Star Wars. I think that would be the best. Maybe I'll tweet Dave Filoni and just give him the idea.
But as far as also like, since, you know, we're remaking it, obviously, I mean, love George to death for, you know, the maker of Star Wars, but again, not the best of directors. Who do we bring on to direct the film? I mean, we've already mentioned a couple other people, like Filoni would be really good. Favreau would be fantastic.
I don't know any directors.
Even after this point, I think Taika Waititi would be great to do.
He'd be fun.
He'd be fun.
He'd be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I feel like, can you have two directors?
There's weird rules with like the unions and stuff.
What about a director and a producer? Can they work together and do stuff? I don't know. What does a director do? What does a producer do?
The Russo brothers. Oh,
they did Marvel stuff.
They did Infinity War, Endgame, Captain America, Winter Soldier.
That's two directors.
That's one of the things, like it's brothers directing together. I think that's one of the rules. I don't know all the rules about it, but like, the Russo brothers directing a Star Wars. I've always wanted the Russo brothers to direct a Star Wars movie. But
I was just thinking, wouldn't it be fun if you had like some sort of a team effort between Taika and Filoni?
Filoni, oof.
Or Taika and Favreau.
Yeah.
I don't know why I decided to use Taika's first name and the other one's last name. Waititi. And Favreau.
But yeah, any of those would be fantastic. I would like to see the Russo brothers direct. If I was to hire somebody, I was like, yep, redo Attack of the Clones, have the Russo brothers, because their track record is just,
and you know they're really flawless. Good with action sequences and stuff. Yeah. Because I was just watching the Genosis Arena scene the other day. Wow.
And I think
it's bad.
And I think that is probably one of the biggest things I would want to redo out of the entire movie. The action is, I mean, when I was a kid, I was like, oh yeah, cool, lightsaber twirling, Yoda, oh my god. It's like, when I look at it now, the way it's structured, the way it plays out, it's just like, it's not the best. And the lightsabers are probably my least favorite out of all the movies.
It seems just like a lot of twirling.
Yeah, and it seems like you watch the behind the scenes footage of Attack of the Clones, it's like they tape for the Geonosis sequence, they would like tape, and I say tape because this is the first movie they went digital and not film reels. So they would tape like single people doing lightsaber actions, and then they comp them in the background. Oh. And it's just like, that looks cool. Let's put them back there. And it looks like
copying and pasting.
Yeah. It looks like a lot of just people just like fighting nothing. And that's my biggest complaint about the lightsaber action. It's like, you can clearly tell they're fighting nothing, especially the Dooku and Yoda fight.
Yeah.
You can very clearly see that it's just a guy doing this, and like, okay, he looks like he's swinging there. Let's put Yoda there at that moment.
Yeah.
And then have him jump over here because he's swinging over here at this moment. So that's one of the, I would hire a completely new stunt coordinator, stunt staff. I would completely do everything with the action in this movie.
You saying that it looks like they fight nothing, the first immediate thing that made me think of, I don't know what her name is, but towards the beginning when all the Jedi come into the arena and they all just start, you know, twirling out their lightsabers, there is one Jedi and it's a girl, and she it's the shot is like her and another Jedi guy, and she like takes out her lightsaber and then goes,
it's a Jedi next to what's his face,
what are you doing?
To Coleman Trevor, the
guy,
the Jedi next to him.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't realize I can't see them in my head. I didn't realize that was.
Yeah, and he has one of the most corniest entrances in the entirety. He's like facing the back, and he turns around like ball baddest, like, oh hey, it's like. Oh.
And then she just like lightsaber. It's just so bad.
Yeah, and like, the fight between Anakin and Dooku,
in the hangar,
Again, watching it when I was a kid, I was like, this is really cool.
It's awesome.
It's awesome. I'm like a teenage kid. I'm like, how would you not like, you know, it's awesome. But like the way they're positioned when they first start is completely different from when it cuts to a wide. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Obi-Wan is supposed to be right underneath them. and they peel off. And then when you cuts to the wide, he is nowhere to be found. And it's like, what happened? Where did Obi-Wan go? Did he just magically jump over somewhere? Mm. And it's so weird. And then you have the rave sequence.
I was just going to say, is this that movie where they're just like...
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like...
It's so bad.
It's so bad. Oh. And it's, I get what he was trying to do. And I
do
get
you?
What... Sort of. I mean, and they're, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think anyone does.
But like... Not only that, but like jumping back and forth between like, you know, action sequences, the fight sequence between Jango Fett and Obi-Wan, mm-hmm. when they're fighting on Kamino, and Obi-Wan loses his lightsaber. I wanted to see more of that.
Yeah.
I love seeing Jedi without their lightsabers.
Yeah.
And like it was very underwhelming. I mean, he gets some pretty cool kicks on him, like he flying sidekicks him out of the air. I'm like, that was pretty cool. But then it's like, that's the extent of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like, I want to see like because they're supposed to be well trained in martial arts, right? And he's trying to punch a guy with armor. Like,
that's
what?
True. The same.
Like, what? What?
He tries to punch a guy with armor. This is the same Obi-Wan that also tried to kick Grievous.
I mean, yeah,
chin.
that's kind of still the same thing, but like,
why?
It's continuity, right?
I guess. Obi-Wan, you crazy. R.I.P.
But like, because like, there's this one sequence in the Clone Wars season 7 where Ahsoka doesn't have her lightsabers anymore. She's no longer part of the Order, and she beats the snot out of some pikes. And she looks good doing it. Like, it's pretty BA.
Nice.
And I want to see that with other, like, live-action stuff. Like, hire a stunt coordinator that, like... Because it's supposed to be a Mandalorian, quote-unquote. Because I know Jango Fett's not a Mandalorian. But, like... And a Jedi. Like, these are two, like, really good fighters. I want to see them scrap hand-to-hand, but it'll last, like, 2 seconds.
Mm.
And then, like, they go to reach for their weapons. It's like, give me something more. But, like...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's like the number one thing I would change in this movie, because
choreography,
stunt choreography, and things like that. And
choreography, special effects, dialogue.
But speaking on special effects, like, can you like? Because I've gushed about the volume from Mandalorian, the new technology they use. I've gushed about that time and time again. Can you imagine using this on this movie?
It'd be cool.
Fantastic. It would save so much money.
Oh my god. I wonder how, well, mm-hmm. I don't know. I wonder if you would save money. Would you save money?
You wouldn't have to fly people out to locations, even though locations are, you know, nothing replaces shooting on locations. But if I was to do it my way, I would do it on a soundstage. And
so remember how, I don't know, was it The Force Awakens or mm-hmm. some movie where they went to film in the desert, but they were like...
It was Rise of Skywalker.
But they had green screens
they
everywhere?
They had green screen all the way around.
But they did it
them.
For the lighting?
Mm-hmm.
So... Would you not need to do that with this volume?
It would, yes and no. I mean, there's nothing, again, like I said, there's nothing replacing like shooting on location because it's really hard to mimic sunlight in a studio setting, but it gets really freaking close because there's just that one shot in The Mandalorian when he's fixing his armor and the child tries to heal him.
No.
I was like, I completely thought, I was like, man, they had moved really quick because this sunset shot is really difficult to capture in real life. But they did it in the volume. It's like, yeah, we did it for it's a 12-hour sunset. I'm like, 12-hour sunset? Wow. It completely fooled me. So it's like shots like that, like when you want to like get it like completely right, but you just don't have the time especially with sunset shots, you can just set it up in the volume and then like take your time with it. So I think that'd be pretty sick.
It's conversations like these that mm-hmm. make me realize how little I pay attention to a lot of things because... Talking about this shot with the child trying to heal him, and was that when he was fighting that big mud horn?
That was after.
Exactly. I have this much of a grip on what scene you're talking about.
Well, you only saw it once.
It's true.
Yeah, and we're gonna rewatch it. And I think we're gonna start talking about these episodes when we get back into our rewatches. But
there's just some things that people are like, oh, remember this when this happened? I'm like, no, I don't. But I know I watched it.
Yeah. But as far as visual effects go, I think that's the way to go for this movie. I mean, can you imagine like going back to the producers? Like, yeah, we're going to save a bunch of money by doing this. But also the Coruscant chase scene, I think that would benefit with that.
Oh my God. And when Zam Wessel like turns back into her like mm-hmm. normal form, oh, it looks so bad.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to see that. Even just small things like that. Yeah. I would just like to see something like that just look better.
And the battle...
Look like a more real alien, please.
Yeah. And the battle of Geonosis, there's so many times when they're like, they're trying to react to certain things, and it just looks like they're looking... You can clearly see they're looking at green screen. Yeah. It's like, just give your actors a little bit more something. And also, going back to action, the Battle of Geonosis annoys the piss out of me.
Why?
Because it's just two giant things going running at each other. It's like, here's the clones, here are the battle droids, and it's just people running at each other. And there's nobody's taking cover, nobody's trying to be strategic, nobody's, you know what I mean?
Like, does that mean, does the Battle of Naboo annoy you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Same principle.
It's the same principle. It's just two giant factions just running at each other.
Does the Battle of Wakanda annoy you? Same thing, right?
It is, but once they get into
300?
You're poking holes in this. What are you doing?
I'm just curious.
No, but like once it gets in the thick of it, then people start taking cover. They start, you know, like,
yeah.
And their strategy comes in. There's nothing that's like, oh, you see them standing in front of a hollow, like whatever. And they're like, oh, let you see the battle point unfolding. It's like, all right, we'll just send more people in.
No, it's true.
That's not how it works.
The Geonosis Arena battle is pretty haphazard and chaotic. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you said, well, first of all, there's nowhere to really take cover.
Yeah.
It's an open arena. But no, there doesn't seem to be any kind of, it's just brawling. Mm-hmm. People just start riding carriages through, you know, it's chaos.
Yeah. But like the Battle of Geonosis, it's like, the clones are supposed to be great at fighting, right? So have them, like, show me them, like, taking cover, like, trench warfare type of stuff. Like, if I could redo the Battle of Geonosis, that's the way I'd do it.
Yeah.
Because, like, right, even now if you go into Battlefront 2 and you play the Battle of Geonosis, it's, like, it's far more tactical and far more, you know what I mean? So that's something I would do.
And also, we're fully aware that war is not structured.
Yeah, I know.
But this is also a space movie we're talking about. So if you get to make your own...
Thank you for saving it.
if you get to make your own battle, you get to structure it however you want to. I know that actual fighting is nothing like what we think it is. But when we're talking about aliens and Jedi fighting each other in space, then
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would just like to see that people like taking like... Because like, you know, Mace Windu lands and like he's like, oh, I have 5 special commando units waiting your order. So like, all right, let's take them and flank these people.
Mm.
There's no mention of this. All right, let's take them and run at them. It's like...
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I know even like the dialogue between Anakin and Padme.
Mm-hmm. And I know it sounds like we're pissing all over this movie, but like... There are some things that, you know, I would keep. Obviously, Obi-Wan is someone I would keep. Ewan McGregor would keep. Natalie Portman I would keep. I would recast Mace Windu. I've always wanted to recast Mace Windu.
I'm not a fan of Mace Windu.
And the character Samuel L. Jackson playing Mace Windu.
I can't tell. I don't know. I don't know because I think Mace Windu is kind of a jerk.
He is. I mean, you only know him from the movies.
I only know him from the prequels.
Yeah.
Only know him from the prequels.
He's kind of dialed up a little bit for some of the books and the Clone Wars, and it's just like,
I'm not really a fan.
Yeah.
I'd probably recast him just to see what would happen.
Yeah, because I was never a fan of Sam Jackson playing Mace Windu.
He was just Sam Jackson with a lightsaber. Yeah. Let's all keep it real.
I mean, he fit for like other films, like big franchises, like...
Nick Fury, he's fantastic.
He totally fits that character. Yeah, I just never thought of him fitting with Mace Windu because it's like it's just look, it's Sam Jackson in a Jedi robe.
Yeah.
But it's also while we're on recasting people.
Oh, I'm not good at this game either.
Would you recast Anakin Skywalker?
I feel like I'd want to give Hayden Christensen another chance. Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking. God, we have like no differing opinions on this. Oh, we're meant for each other.
Oh.
We're a dyad.
We're a dyad. Oh, my God. Yes. Yeah, no, but I think I'd like to give Hayden another chance because I feel like, I mean, I haven't seen a lot of Hayden Christensen movies.
I've seen a couple of him, and he's decent in a couple of things that I've seen.
I think I've only seen him in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've seen him in anything else.
Have you seen Looper?
No. I was about to say Jumper. Is that...
Oh, no, that's Jumper. Sorry.
Really?
Yeah, it's Jumper.
I did it. I guessed it.
Sorry.
No, I haven't seen it. But
yeah.
I want to give him another chance because I feel like he'd probably be better because look at Natalie Portman. Fantastic actress. Yeah. Terrible direction. And look at what happened. So I feel like what would happen if we took Hayden Christensen but gave him better direction?
Yeah.
I feel like we might... Because I feel like he started really, you know, coming into his own in Revenge, you know... Hair starts growing.
There were some moments in Revenge of the Sith where I'm like, wow, that's really good. There's some great there are some really good moments with Hayden in Revenge of the Sith. With with Attack, it's just like creeper.
Yeah, because he's like, oh.
Then Inappropriate Touch when he exhales slightly.
Yeah, they're like in Lake Country or whatever, and she's, what are they talking about? It's when he's about to tell her he doesn't like sand.
Yeah,
and
it's after.
She's got this like beautiful outfit on, and it's like kind of backless.
It is backless.
And he just kind of like trails his finger in this. It's just so weird and so gross.
And then, like, that again, bringing up that one kid from TikTok, it's like, oh, it makes me feel nice. It's like, that's pretty much the extent of his acting.
Yeah. In this.
And like, if you watch them, I love watching the behind the scenes of the prequel films because it's some of the best like behind the scenes stuff you'll ever watch. His audition piece is really good.
Was it a scene from the movie?
It's I think his audition scene is when they're talking in an apartment about I am grown up. You said it yourself from that scene when she's packing to get ready to leave Coruscant and go to Naboo. It's that scene, and I don't think Lucas is in the room when he's not giving him directions for his audition, but the little pieces you see of in his audition are pretty good. I'm like, wow, where was that during the movie?
Well, so that's why I think I'd like to give another chance because I don't know who I would recast.
I always, for some reason, like. Leonardo DiCaprio was rumored to be cast as
Anakin Skywalker. Playing the casting game. I'm the worst.
But again, Anakin, this is Titanic era Leonardo DiCaprio.
Mm.
Well, years after.
When he was a piece.
Yeah. I mean, he still is a piece.
Actually, I think he's a hotter piece now. he's like a bold wine aging.
Yeah. I mean, like, could you imagine Leonardo DiCaprio playing Anakin Skywalker?
Now? Or Titanic Leo?
Titanic Leo. Romeo and Juliet Leo. It's that area Leo. But then again, we're not remaking it back then. We're remaking it now.
No, so. Leo now is more like Octo Luke.
Yeah, that's true. The Revenant.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
You know, back in Pretty Boy days, Pretty Boy 90s.
Yeah.
You know.
There's another one that I thought, like, Franco, Dave, not Dave.
James.
James Franco. I always thought.
I've never seen him in a serious role, so I don't know what he would be like.
I don't know. For some reason,
apart from the Disaster Artist, is that what it's called?
Yeah. Even that is kind of comedic.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
Fantastic movie, though.
Yeah, it was a good movie. It was weird, but it was good.
Yeah, it was good.
But, yeah, no, I don't. I don't know. For some reason, I don't know why Andrew Garfield keeps like popping in my head.
Oh, good choice. I actually like that.
I don't know.
Actually, we should reach back to like. Oh no, we recast because we did a recast.
No, we did Phantom Menace.
We did Phantom Menace
with Ben and Sabrina.
But we recasted old Anakin too, right? And I think Andrew Garfield was in the conversation.
Oh, he might have been. Yeah.
That'd be pretty.
Oh, because I think didn't Sabrina say like Timothy Chalamet? Ugh. Which I don't get it. I don't get what the hype is with that kid.
No, I don't either.
Oh, what is he like? 17? I don't get it.
I don't know.
I do not get it. And your name, like, where'd that come from? Timothy E?
Timothy E?
Chalamet. I'm sure you're a cool dude. You're not watching this.
I don't think I would recast Anakin. I think he's fine. And again, there are moments where I think Christensen does do a fair job.
Yeah.
He just needs a different director. Anything else that we want to think of, like, redoing with this movie? Because, like, I think we hit all the big pieces.
The main points, because I think costume design is great.
I think
that the way it is.
I think visually the prequels are really good because, like,
you're never gonna replace John Williams, so don't even touch the music.
No. I mean, Across the Stars is probably a top like score piece for me, or Across the Galaxy, Across the Stars. I'm pretty sure it's Across the Stars. But yeah, like just that theme is fantastic. Everybody always has a problem with like people like the clones being mocapped, like every single one of them. They're not like actual people in suits, but like their CG elements mocapped in. I mean, do you have any problems with that, or would you rather see people
See people in actual things?
But I say with this argument is they're supposed to be clones. And they're supposed to be identical. So that means they all need to be the exact same height. Any variance in height, it's like, why is that guy shorter than him? Why is that guy taller than him? Why is he pudgier? You know what I mean? So they have to be all, and they're all from the same batches, so they all have to be exactly the same. So I think I would still mocap them.
Can't you shoot one?
Yeah, recomp them. Yeah, you could do that. Take forever because
do
you have to shoot
with volume.
Do it with volume.
Can you do that? Is that only landscaping? Can you only do like landscapes in volume, or can you do people?
I think it's more landscaping. It'd be hard to do actual people because of the parallax and things like that.
Well, then find twins, and then that cuts down time in half. How many times you have to copy?
I mean,
and paste
you can find 10 people, to have like 20 people, all the same height.
Yeah, same body, same height, and then just take those 10 people, and then you just multiply them until you got 100 of them.
Yeah, I mean that's not. I mean, well, in groups of 10, yeah, have them in front of the camera, but then like when you pan out and like have them big crowds of dudes. You have to go CG. I mean, there's no other way around it.
Yeah, because you're hard pressed to get the actual, you know, mm-hmm. movements of the human body.
Yeah.
When you just see the actual head of the actor and then the body is just like.
Oh yeah, that was something.
Like when they're all in the dining hall on Camino, mm-hmm. and it's just like, ugh, this is really like. Ugh.
Well, yeah.
They're just the movement of their body. You can just obviously it's.
Yeah.
A special effect, but it's not very realistic, and I would like to see it look more realistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't make movies, that's why. But of course you're going to want to see a person in a suit because
I mean that's pretty much everybody with Star Wars now. It's like make it practical. It's like, well, practical's not always, you know, the most effective or cost-effective, I should say, solution. Sometimes you have to go CG because it's just you can't do it. Like, would you want to build this gigantic 100-foot whatever, or we can just like we can build half of it and then do the rest digital. So
this is a fantasy world.
It's a fantasy where baby
we're recapping reimagining
yeah
with an imaginary budget. So I'm putting dudes in suits.
That's a t-shirt. Dudes in suits or a podcast.
No, it's too close to nerds in suits. That's Ben Bateman's that's true. Don't want to encroach on his brand.
So yeah, so top things we would redo with Attack of the Clones. Obviously the action.
Yeah.
Visual effects update all of it.
Dialogue. Oh boy.
Dialogue, completely redo the dialogue.
Anywhere near it. Don't even let him proofread it.
Yeah. I mean, you'd still keep George Lucas around just to oversee stuff, right? It's like, well, you can't do that because that's my horrible George Lucas impersonation.
What, like that's canon, that's not canon?
Yeah, just
now that's why you bring in what's his face?
Dave Filoni?
No.
John Favreau?
No, the guy who blocked everyone on Twitter.
Oh, Pablo Hidalgo.
That one.
Ooh. That guy.
That one. The guy who chain blocked everybody.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's good with all that stuff. I mean, he's the encyclopedia. You want me to talk about Alex Damien in an encyclopedia? Jeez, I want to see Pablo Hidalgo compete in the showdown.
Yeah.
He'd smoke everybody.
Oh, yeah. But I would tell George, go over there and sit in that corner. We'll take care of this. You can sign off on it when we're done, but just go look at TikTok in the corner.
Look at TikTok in the corner. Yeah, but I think the top two things I would just want to just gut is the dialogue and the action.
Yeah.
It's just... those are the two things that always stand out to me when I watch this movie. It's just like, oh.
Yeah, this movie feels like it lasts for about 5 hours when we watch it.
Mm-hmm. The pain, yeah, I think the dialogue is what really hurts the pacing of the movie because it feels like it just drags.
Yeah.
When it's like, oh, okay, we're already here.
Yeah.
So, but.
What about Grievous?
Grievous?
Keep him in there?
He's not until Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, that's right. I always equate General Grievous to Attack of the Clones for some reason.
Ooh, another big. Bring in Puppet Yoda.
Ooh, yeah. I like Puppet Yoda better than CGI Yoda.
I mean, this is the first... I mean, obviously, for the fight sequence, you would have to have him CG. Would you... I would keep the Yoda lightsaber, but again, I would re-choreograph it with a little person just to make sure the timing's there and, like, make sure the... You know what I mean? And make sure the Dooku... Ooh, that's another thing. I know it's kind of, like... blasphemy to recast Christopher Lee, rest in peace. I might want to get somebody else's Dooku. Just because, like... You know what I mean?
I don't want to admit that because R.I.P.
Yeah.
but I kind of understand what you're saying.
Yeah, just speak for like for the close-ups when he when he's lightsaber fighting, you can really tell he's struggling with the lightsaber. And
yeah,
you know what I mean. And I never got the idea, the whole thing of like old Jedi people can move so fast and jump so high. I know it's supposed to make you a superhero almost, but
yeah,
like,
when even when Palpatine is flipping around his office, I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, I would make the choreography a little bit more age appropriate, but yeah, not so much to where it's like, you know, the Force isn't helping you at all.
Yeah, because like Alec Guinness, they kept that duel with him and Vader within mm-hmm. his means.
Yeah.
Because obviously they weren't, you know, digitally flipping him around the hall, but yeah, it was choreographed to be fit for a man of his age.
Yeah.
So, but then again, Attack of the Clones, you're not going to want to see something that's fit for a however many decades old man he yeah. was at the time.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Would you want to have seen a younger Dooku? I mean, obviously it wouldn't fit chronologically.
Yeah, you couldn't because of the, you know, he's supposed to be Qui-Gon's master and blah, 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 blah.
Well, but I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know.
I mean,
character-wise, Christopher Lee as Dooku is just, oh, it's great, but...
Yeah, but action-wise, it was kind of like...
You can tell. You can tell when it switches from the stunt guy to, you know, Christopher Lee.
So. I almost wish he had, like, a Maul to be like, go get him. You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
so like that he side, could just sit back and watch.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah. But yeah, I think we both agree on the major things he would change in this movie is dialogue, action, and an update all the visual effects.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Puppet Yoda, definitely bring in Puppet Yoda.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of totally CGI Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all.
It just doesn't feel right, especially after going back to Last Jedi and seeing Puppet Yoda again.
Yeah.
And it works so much better.
It was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, prequel Yoda is like, oh, honey.
I mean, you've never seen puppet Phantom Menace puppet Yoda. Oof, that looks rough.
Really?
It doesn't look right.
You'd rather have CGI Yoda?
For Phantom, well, if they can get the original puppet into play, then yeah, like bring, because they for some reason they couldn't recast the original puppet for some odd reason, and the puppet they used in Phantom Menace looked really weird.
I think I know the puppet you're talking about. Yeah. I have like a vague, fuzzy image mm-hmm. of it in my head.
His forehead looks strange and...
Yeah.
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 No, mm-hmm. bad. But I'd rather have a puppet than a, you know, just like wasn't there a big debate over if Baby Yoda was going to be puppet or CGI?
Yeah.
And somebody was like, I read somewhere that one of the actors was like, use a puppet, you know.
Oh, the guy that plays,
Libation.
Yeah,
that
guy. Yeah. Would you like a libation?
That guy. I don't remember what his actual name is, but I think he was use a puppet, you cowards.
Yeah.
I'm sure he used a more colorful word than cowards. I think he did, but
yeah,
he's right. I think it works a lot better when it's an actual puppet.
Mm-hmm.
Until you start flipping it around, then
then you have to
do what you gotta do.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's a great place to wrap this conversation up. I mean, I think everybody would say redo Attack of the Clones because
you could
redo Clone Wars, but then it's like, well, you have a whole other series you got to contend with, you know.
Clone Wars movie?
Movie, yeah. I mean, it's already just a long episode. I mean,
yeah,
it's fine on its own.
It's the same animation.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do? Make different animation?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it'd be worth it to redo the Clone Wars film.
Yeah. But yeah, I think everybody can agree. Like, yep, redo Attack of the Clones, please.
Yeah, I think that's...
So with that, we're gonna wrap the show up here. Nikki DiMilanto, where can they find you online?
Twitter.
Skybarks.
Thundering outside. Twitter Dimmy, DIMMMYYY.
As for me, you can follow me on Twitter and Twitch at Drew DiMilanta, DIMALANTA. If you're watching this on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe to the channel to be updated when we upload to this channel. If you're listening on audio form, go to Apple Podcasts. Please rate us, help us out. And if you would like to support us other than liking and subscribing, consider joining the Patreon. patreon.com/AndrewandNikki. Become a member of the squadron. Thank you to our squadron captains, Tamor Butta, Ferris Mathana, and Joss Estes. With that, we will wrap it up here. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Going Rogue. May the Force be with you. Always.